When I look up definitions of chaos, I find disarray, a state of utter confusion or disorder where everything exists and happens at once. And if there's one thing in this world to accurately describe my brain, this is it. The rushing of this world folds into the layers of static that already fills my mind, yielding my mind to work faster and faster in an attempt to process all stimuli until it crashes and shuts down like an overheated computer from the 90s. So I learned to dam myself, wrap myself in foil so the world enters softer. Only now there's chaos in me that grows like a fungus, grows like a fog around me, grows and grows till I can't see or distinguish myself from the world around me, and my hands are reaching for something tangible and finds poetry. A place of quiet, a point of both being seen and seeing myself. When I write, I'm sifting words out of mist, scraping them and shaving them into a form until I can see the image of something intelligible. I pluck a lump of chaos, frame it and say, here, this is me. This is you. This is us. I think every artist is ultimately a translator. Maybe chaos is a language both nobody and everybody speaks. With art, with colors, with words, with sentences and sounds, we're trying to translate each other over and over and over.
The person you just heard is Talita Maisha. Talita is an artist of the spoken word, and they use spoken word to talk about what chaos means to them in relation to their art form.
I think it's very interesting how they talk about chaos in a way that it's something that overwhelms you. It's not a good thing, but from chaos they can make poetry, and poetry they see as the thing that organizes chaos. It makes it better. So I think that's probably going to be a theme throughout this podcast episode. Art is something that mediates chaos. And that is exactly what we'll be talking about in this podcast. We'll be looking at perspectives from multiple artists who exercise different art forms. So welcome to our chaos podcast. Today we are going to be talking about chaos in art. My name is Ismay.
I am Moniz. And we are students in the Humanities Honors Program at Utrecht University.
This podcast is part of an interactive journaling experience provided to you by our Honours Research Seminar Group, consisting of 7 Humanities Honours students. If you would like to partake in this journaling experience yourself, you can find a free PDF version of our interactive journal on our website, chaos101.sites.uu.nl, as well as further information on our research about chaos. Thank you for listening to our podcast.
So, as Ismay already mentioned, we'll be talking about different forms of art in this podcast. And with each form of art, we have an artist that would like to introduce their version of chaos. Sadly, because of COVID-19, we could not invite them over for the podcast. But we do have audio fragments of the things they had to say and the way they experience chaos. Our groupmate Marit, credits to you, conducted interviews with several artists, and we will be introducing them to you today.
We would like to start with a fragment of a conversation between Victor Rottier and Marit. Victor is a dancer and choreographer, and in this fragment, Marit and Victor are discussing what chaos means to Victor.
I was wondering, because chaos is a very broad concept, what is chaos to you? How would you describe it?
I don't know. I mean, if we're talking about art in general, or if we talk about life and chaos, I think it's a little bit different. I think in art, for me at least, I think the beauty lies in recognizing or having a certain recognition within chaos. I think a nice starting point usually in a process of making something is that there is a lot of stuff happening and it's not so clear yet what it is. And then slowly this chaos kind of crystallizes in something recognizable.
So you would say that chaos isn't completely orderless. There is some order, but maybe in the beginning you can't see it. And then when you start in the process, things slowly unfold.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially for the performer or when creating a piece, I guess there is the chaos and of the ideas that you have, and that you have to channel the ideas you have into something that is maybe better to understand for you or better to understand for your audience. Or yeah, I think because the starting point is never the same as the end, so there's always chaos.
Do you think chaos is maybe more how you perceive it? Because you're saying like you need to translate it into something that you can understand or your audience can understand. So what I'm hearing is that you that chaos is something that you perceive as chaos and as something that has no order, but that it doesn't mean that there isn't an order, that you sometimes have to find it.
Yeah, it's true what you say, that chaos in general is a very broad concept. It's a very broad idea. It's a word that maybe doesn't always translate to what is happening. To say like, oh my God, it's so chaotic, doesn't mean that it is chaotic. It means maybe that exactly what you say, that you find it hard to watch or you find it hard to deal with, which doesn't mean that for everybody, you know, it's unclear. It's just a perception. And but I think it's true that once you practice to look at things which you find chaotic, you will at some point find patterns which make it less chaotic.
Okay, so I think it's very interesting that he mentioned that chaos may just be something perceived and that there's always a pattern in chaos, because in our chaos theory episode we actually talked about that, like universal determinism, that however complex it is, everything may be patterned and predictable. So it's very interesting to hear an artist say that.
Okay, so when I ask you, Esme, would you feel like chaos is only perceived and not really there?
I mean, when we look at chaos in the chaos theory way, we actually discussed that most scientists agree that not everything is deterministic. So there may be real chaos, but I think less unpredictable chaos than we may think. So more things are predictable than we tend to think or perceive.
Yeah, that's interesting. So the next person we will be introducing to you is a musician and a music teacher named Gerard de Jong. And he has something similar to say as Victor.
Well, I think chaos really doesn't exist. It's just a concept in which you describe state of mind of observer or listener about a situation or a piece of music, and the observer doesn't see or comprehend any structure in this piece of music or in this situation. On the other hand, if you zoom out or in sufficiently, then you can see structures that didn't appear when you were just listening to it or watching it. So chaos is all about structure and procedures, but most of all about, do people recognize the line of notes or the line of events, actions taken in this situation or not? And if they do not, they think it's chaotic. And if they do see lines and to see where it's going to, do they understand it, then they probably think it's okay, it's not chaotic. So chaotic is not a fact, it's not a reality, it's just the way how you experience certain situations or how you appreciate certain music.
Okay, so this was basically totally different, and I feel like he said some very interesting things, starting with the first thing he said, which is that chaos does not exist. And before we dive into a discussion about this, because I feel like we can talk about this for a while.
Yes, definitely.
The first thing that came to my mind was a philosopher, Descartes, probably the most famous European philosopher there is. And he used to say that the idea and the existence of two things are connected. So, for example, he argued that God exists merely because everyone has the same idea of God. And he just asked himself, where does that idea come from, if not from God himself? And I think that's a fantastic argument. As someone who does not even believe in God, it definitely got me thinking. And that's what I thought of here too, because if we were to agree with Gerard, we would say that chaos does not exist. But then I wondered, where does the idea of chaos come from then, if it does not exist?
Yes, that's so fascinating, especially because we're actually also going to be talking a little bit about Descartes in the politics episode. So, beautiful connection. His name is definitely one that will come up when talking about chaos in several situations. But I think Gerard here uses two different definitions of chaos at the same time. So, at one point, chaos is just the way people experience it, so an experience of unpredictability. But he says it doesn't really exist. So like the experience exists, but chaos itself, like the mess and the unpredictability, doesn't exist. It's just our experience that exists. So that is very fascinating. And I don't think he's looking at it from a chaos theory perspective at all. He's just looking at it as an artist.
Yeah. And when I say that, there's one author that we discussed in the mythology episode that this reminds me of. Do you have any idea which one it is? I'm going to quiz you now. Because there is one that comes to mind very clearly.
Virgil?
Yes!
Yes!
It reminded me of Virgil. Because we're not going to go too deep into this because there's an entire episode of this, obviously. But I just thought it was interesting because in the Aeneid, like, chaos is not mentioned, but all the almost like traces that chaos leaves behind are mentioned. And that's kind of what Gerard is saying here, except for the fact, obviously, that chaos existed at one point, because he doesn't say that. But he does say that we, like, it's an experience that you can have rather than an existence of its own.
Yes.
So that's, like, I thought that was interesting.
Everything in this podcast series is connected.
Definitely.
But what's interesting is that both Victor and Gerard say that there is order in chaos, but that you can't always make sense of it. And then art is kind of the medium of making sense of it. So Gross, who is a philosopher and writer of the book Fractals, The Patterns of Chaos, A New Aesthetic of Art, Science and Nature, very interdisciplinary.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. So she says that art is the regulation and organization of its materials. She says that art is created when something can be pulled out of the chaos. And this is in line with what chaos theory describes, because that theory suggests that there is order that can be found in chaos. Or at least in like the mess that we see, the chaos is actually orderly. So it's very interesting that on one hand, they say chaos doesn't exist, but on the other hand, it's a very real experience. But also there's a dual definition of chaos. But when people are using chaos, they just use the word without telling you that they're using a different definition. How?
Yeah.
Because they're so interconnected.
Which is kind of chaotic in itself, but yeah. We might be going too deep here. Okay.
So in this next fragment, you will hear a conversation between Victor and Marit. And in this fragment, Victor explains the difference between chaos in his personal life and chaos in art. So he is trying to define the separation between the two.
I think the way you deal with chaos as an artist while making things is different than the chaos I have in my life.
What is the difference to you?
I think life's chaos is less controllable than artistic chaos. Somehow I choose to do certain things much more than when chaos happens in life. Usually that is from an external source. So I cannot control the chaos coming towards me from other people.
So, but what do you mean by controlling the chaos when you're making a performance or something?
So I think when making a performance, there are a lot of factors to think about when creating something, and all those factors you get to change to a way where they work together. So I have control in that way, but if tomorrow I'm getting a call that puts my life upside down, it will be much harder to oversee what to do in order to get to the point that I want to get to. Like now, I, as a maker, I know this is my endpoint, or somehow. And then I can mix and match everything the way that I want to. And of course, the outcome is not completely maybe what you would want it to be, but at least I can decide on what the lights are, and I can decide on the structure of the piece. I cannot decide on how the dancers are feeling on that, or how they perform. So in the end, there is some chaos there to deal with, but you calculate that in, which in life I think is different.
Okay, I actually really love this perspective because he makes the same separation that I was trying to make earlier. So he is saying that in the outside world, like in his personal life, there's so much going on in the world that you can't control it. So that is like uncontrollable chaos from an individual's perspective. But then again, art is his medium of making structure.
But I do think that's interesting though. So if I'm correct, he says that making art is kind of what settles the dust in a way and kind of makes sense of the chaos. But isn't making art in itself really chaotic as well? Like, especially if you don't plan it?
Yes. Well, as he was saying, he somehow kind of knows the end product in some way. But of course, he can't control how the dancers feel or how they react to certain situations. But it is a different type of chaos than just being exposed to all the stimuli in the world.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that he sees a distinction and manages to put it into words like this.
Yeah. I also think it's really interesting, though, because obviously taking art as a whole concept is nearly impossible, I feel like, because there's so many different versions of art. And when you describe or like compare, for example, painting to choreography, for some, this might be totally wrong, but for some reason, I feel like choreography is more structured because the whole thing is kind of creating a plan for dancing and like a structure of a certain feeling. Whereas painting, you can just go in with no idea of what you're going to do and just like put it all on a canvas. But you could, but I don't think a lot of people just send their dancers onto a stage and just let them do their thing for a show. So
yeah, that's why choreographer's perspective is so interesting here. There's also another artist that we've talked to, and he also talks about how chaos is present in his making of art. His name is Luc, and he is a visual artist. So what you'll be hearing now is this fragment from the artist, Luc Leitens.
Sterling artist, I'm like 4 years in practice right now, I think, like professionally. I'm trying to find my way in my craft also as well. I'm making carvings out of wood, I'm making paintings on top of it, and I'm making very different kind of paintings like over the years. I don't see like one type of style or something. I cannot stick with one thing, and that caused also some chaos. I'm really having it like from a painting to painting type of thing, not like a day-to-day thing, but more like a painting to painting kind of thing. I think that's a thing also within my arts which resembles some chaos activity, I guess.
Do you ever just feel like someone is attractive just by hearing their voice?
Wow.
Anyways, I did think it was interesting that he said that there is not really, like, he is a very eclectic style in the sense that there isn't really a certain style in making his art. And I do think that's really interesting because sometimes I feel like, especially when it comes to art, it's always put in boxes because there's all these different movements and they all have certain characteristics, and then you all learn about them and you learn to kind of distinguish them from each other. And this guy just kind of goes right through and doesn't really have a certain style. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, so he calls himself chaotic in this sense. So that's yet another definition. Just your own mindset can be chaotic. And again, another definition of the word. So he talks more about this chaotic process of making an art piece in the next fragment.
Within like the process about making art is chaos definitely something I would like to embrace in a sort of a way about playing with it, because I mostly like make the compositions like playful, starting with actually nothing at my canvas and just go with the flow, starting most of the time from my unconscious mind, I guess, and just start with a person or an object or anything which is encountering my mind, and then fill it in on the canvas, and just start from there, checking out what I'm going to paint after when I have drawn it, and then go with the flow, just checking how my composition looks like after it, see how I can adjust it, and see how I can transform it to one piece. And I think that's, I think there was a lot of chaos in between, you know, because there are a lot of thoughts about how I will make the composition eventually, how I will adjust my colors to it, how I will adjust the thickness of my lines, etc., and see what my emotions say about it.
Okay, so that was very interesting. Actually, while I was listening to this, I wrote down that he said that sometimes his inspiration comes from the unconscious mind, which I think is so interesting, because I feel like when I think of the most chaotic thing I can think of within myself, so within your own mind, it's probably dreaming. Yes. Because I've had the weirdest dreams ever. So I thought that was really interesting, because I feel like if you try to take inspiration from a chaotic source, dreaming would be like the perfect place to do it.
Yes, I also find it very interesting that his, like, it comes from my unconscious mind, and the go with the flow thing is quite different from what we just heard from choreographer Victor. So Victor said that he usually kind of knows an end point, and that he seeks control, obviously, because his dancers need to know what they've got to do. So I thought this was very interesting that Luke, as a visual artist, actually doesn't have an end point in mind in that way. So this is yet another form of chaos.
So Luke says that chaos is present in the process of making art for him. Someone who feels the same way is Nachume Miller, another visual artist. He says that the way he goes into the process is always chaotic. During his work, he responds to a chain of events, and eventually he gets more clarity, which causes the art to take form. This is also in line with what Gross and chaos theory say. At first, everything is chaotic. But then, later on, something out of this chaos is being made into art. Luke says that he thinks chaos within art should be embraced. What is interesting is that more artists have said this. For example, hear what Timo Laurens, who is a student in theater with focus on theater making, has to say in the next fragment.
Chaos in the theater industry is like inspiration. I experience it in different layers, in a performance as a whole or in a miniature scene. Chaos creates friction for the player or audience, and although it can also function as a distractor, I often use chaos at the beginning of a process to make it concrete from there. And chaos can also confuse and sometimes works against me. With so much inspiration, you sometimes miss the core of your product, in this case the performance. And that is why I find the tension between complete silence and absolute chaos perhaps the most interesting. Always looking for a contrast, because otherwise you will bore the audience.
So what I just heard is that Timo uses chaos or sees chaos as kind of a tool for brainstorming, because he kind of went into the idea that he kind of embraces chaos to find certain ideas and to find inspiration. And then after that, he kind of finds a path within it.
Yes. So again, the art mediates the chaos. You pluck something out of the chaos that turns into something artistic. I think that's so fascinating that that kind of comes back in the view of all these artists, that it starts with chaos, but you take something out of it and art kind of structures it. That's the structure that you find. So we're going back to Victor now, actually, the choreographer. He also thinks that chaos is something that can be embraced. In the next fragment, you will hear that what he has to say about the performances that he makes.
What I mean, okay, so if I would say I make a piece on stage or whatever, we make a performance on stage. What I do in the theater here is very chaotic. The work we make, I think for most people, is not so easy to look at because it is not centered towards something. It's like the focus, the main focus is hard to find. Sometimes with light you can create a certain focus, but Because most of our pieces, all dancers are on stage all the time, doing full-out performances at the same time throughout the space, very hard to pinpoint where to look at. So I think for me to have a certain chaos is also can also be a choice.
So why do you like to not have it centered towards one thing? Why do you like it to be chaotic in a sense?
It can be a tool to not steer your audience into a certain direction. So I think it is a nice tool to open up the view or the focus in order for the audience to look at the things they want to look at. Sometimes, you know, it's easy. Like we usually, like one example is that most dance pieces center things. Whatever is important is centered within the center of stage and based towards the audience. So you always perform everything towards the front or a front. And in this case, the audience. But you can also think that kind of like, or disregard that and say, there is no front for us. So let's not make it too presentational, which also means if we don't have a front, we don't have a center. And by not using that center, it already becomes hard to look at, because everything you look at in life is always centered. Like all the presentational things are centered. You know, architecture and like politics, even like how the Tweede Kamer is set up, or you see a focus point. And this is what we try not to do in order to create chaos as well.
So I really liked how he mentioned that you have to leave room for interpretation for an audience, because there's always certain elements that are generic and that everyone can recognize, but there's always room for the audience to kind of make of it what they want and kind of find their own meaning. And I really, when I think of my favorite forms of art, that's kind of what it is. So like surrealistic paintings or certain poems that you feel like you kind of recognize, but you don't really know what it's about, because it can be about anything. And that's very chaotic in itself. And I had the most random thought while listening to this, but it kind of reminded me of pop music, because I was like reading an article this one time, and it compared pop music to country music and why it's so different. And one of the like most vital differences is that pop music is very generic in what it talks about. When you think of lyrics of pop music, it's always about very broad, general things. They never go into detail about anything. Whereas I don't even listen to country music, but I looked it up to check. And when you look at the lyrics of country songs, it's always very, very specific. Like they tell their own story.
Yes, so you could definitely.
So you could even kind of see like pop music. I mean, it's not chaotic in the sense that there's always a structure, because obviously to make a hit, they have to have very generic, like almost basic structures to a song. But when it comes to being able to find yourself into it and for like 7 billion people to relate to it, it is kind of chaotic.
Yes, that is really interesting. I just heard him say that chaos can be embraced in a performance. And to me, that always, when somebody says that, I immediately feel resistance, because I'm a very organized, structured person. I don't deal well with chaos. So when I see like an art piece that I have trouble seeing something in, or seeing something relatable in, I'm immediately like, oh, this is not for me. I don't see anything in the first 2 seconds. So it's very easy seeing this other perspective, that it's actually just to make it more open for an audience.
Would you say that chaos scares you then? Or is it just that you don't comprehend it?
I mean, it's not chaos in the chaos theory sense. That doesn't scare me, but chaos in the sense that I can't interpret it, or there's too much going on for me, that is something I don't like in my daily life. But then again, the art form of chaos is, again, different. So yeah. I found it very interesting that in the beginning, Victor also made that distinction. But in the end, people still look for order naturally, and therefore they're always looking for ways to decipher the world around them. And that is, again, what I try to do when I look at a more chaotic art piece. So when looking at a chaotic art piece, other people will also tend to do that. Like, there is something in human nature. And Victor thinks that this is what makes chaos in art beautiful.
What I mean is that if there is a lot of chaos, which doesn't come with a set with a set structure, or it doesn't say like, here you have to watch now, then you have to decipher the chaos, which means that you have a very personal look on things. So then that, you know, like there's certain music which is not easy to listen to. So what happens is that you get, you listen to stuff more often or whatever, and you get a certain connection to this music, which you think maybe that only you understand, because it's not so easy to explain to others why you like this so much. And so in the end, you have a really long lasting relationship with this kind of dance or music or how, whatever you got to decipher and love. And I think this is more important. Otherwise, you get this kind of, which is also has also its purpose, but this easy consumable art.
In this fragment, I think, again, I keep saying the word interesting so often in this episode, and I think in the last episodes as well.
Okay, but so new challenge, we'll find different words for interesting.
Fascinating.
There we go.
But I thought it was really interesting how he says that, like, what kind of ties in with what you were saying about pop music, everybody can find their own connection to it because it isn't tied down to anything specific.
Yeah.
The artist may mean something with it, but if you see something else in it, that's also legitimate.
Exactly. But I do kind of feel like if I were an artist and I was writing or painting, dancing, I don't know, creating something, and I had a very clear idea of what I wanted it to mean, and then people would interpret it totally differently, I don't know if I would like that.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that would be very difficult. Because, like, you saw chaos and plucked something out of it.
Yeah.
But then other people look at it and still see chaos and pluck something entirely different out of it.
I feel like, except obviously if that's your goal, then fine. But I feel like I would feel so misunderstood. Like, if I were to write or create something and I very clearly knew what it meant for me, and then people would kind of make it their own. Like, yeah, that there's beauty to that. But also, if you miss the point, like, what even is the point, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, what you mentioned is kind of this feeling that you cannot communicate what really is inside of you through art in that way. Like, it's a kind of a feeling of disconnectedness.
Yeah.
It's like a different kind of loneliness. Yeah, chaos in that way can also be kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's interesting about the rest of the conversation with Victor is that actually talking about chaos with Marit made him think about chaos in a different way. So he actually kind of changed his perspective. And we will show you a fragment of that right now.
I mean, now that I think of it, I think I use chaos just because it is such a powerful word. But I would not dare to compare my own life's chaoses with, like, an actual chaos.
So what would you say is an actual chaos then?
When people themselves become unpredictable. I think that's that would be a chaos. Because I can be in control of myself and not in control of my surroundings and having to deal with that, which makes me feel chaotic. But actual chaos, I guess, would be more of a more life-threatening situation.
So this is, like, he again defines chaos, like, a real chaos and not an autistic chaos, as he separated, as something that's life-threatening.
So he said that he defines actual chaos as when people themselves become unpredictable, which I think is so, I'm going to say, fascinating and not interesting. but I think that's really cool, actually, because I was thinking of bringing this up and then I was like, nah, it's not really relevant. But now that Victor almost mentions it himself, I'm going to do it anyway. He calls it life-threatening. And we were also discussing amongst ourselves that chaos can be a threat to you and to other people. And that just really reminds me of, like, anxiety, because I know for myself, but also people I know that have anxiety, you often hear people describe it as having chaos in your head. So in that way, it can be extremely dangerous. And also there's, like, nothing more dangerous than unpredictable people when you think of, for example, psychopaths or something. So I feel like
that's very intense.
I know. I made a huge leap there. But that's just what I thought of when he said when he used unpredictable people and life-threatening in the same few sentences, that's where my mind goes.
Yeah, I also think it's interesting that he said, I wouldn't dare to compare my own life experiences to real chaos. So he's kind of saying, I experience so little chaos that I feel almost privileged. Like,
yeah. But I also feel like it's nearly impossible to rank, like, your experience with chaos.
Yes, because exactly.
There is no rank, there's no order.
It was a very humble way of him to express himself.
And it kind of makes me almost like feel bad, because I feel like if you experience chaos, that's valid. And it's not like one person, at least I feel like there's not one person who experiences more chaos than another, because it's not that easy to pinpoint. It's just anything other than the predictable. And I feel like you can have just as much chaos, like, in your work life as you can, I don't know, if you experience something traumatic. Like, it's all chaos.
Yeah. So chaos is such a vaguely defined term. When you think about chaos theory and the butterfly effect, it's like you can't predict the future, because it's so, like, there's so many factors into play that the system just, like, there's no way with the formula and the information that you have you can determine the outcome. But then when looking at chaos in the moment, so just, you can't explain what's happening right now. You can't interpret whatever is happening right now. Yeah. That's like a completely different term. And I think what most of these artists are talking about is chaos in the moment.
Yeah.
And then when he says, like, a real chaos, so a chaos that's life-threatening, he's talking about the future, like unpredictability.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the distinction between the types of chaos that he makes. But Victor here is just saying only chaos in the future is a real chaos. Maybe.
Wow. But that's not when I... Well, then either he is, like, has a different perspective on chaos than I do, or I have never experienced chaos when I thought that I did. Because I feel like when I think of... when I felt chaotic... Okay, this is going to sound so vague. We might have to cut this out. But let me try to put this into words. When I think of the future, it's scary, and it's like it's not there yet. So it's more chaotic in the sense that it is void. So this is not at all what we discussed today, but what we, for example, discussed in the mythology episode. Like, there's nothing there, and that does scare me. But that's not the type of chaos that we're talking about right now. I feel like this type of chaos is what you would experience when it's happening right now, right this second, because everything happens at once.
Yes.
And in the future, nothing is happening yet.
Yeah, so chaos in the moment is like an overload of stimuli. It's so much that it can be very overwhelming. But then...
it's like either everything at once or nothing at all.
Yeah.
Those are the two, like, yeah.
Yeah, and then chaos theory chaos is just something different. And again, something much more mathematical, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very fascinating how these different, like, views of chaos kind of merge, and especially how art can be such, like, a mediator, a medium for structuring it for yourself, or just dealing with the chaos.
Would you say you're an artistic person, Esme?
I mean, I did take art class, like I mentioned in the last episode, or no, in the first episode. But I think, like, I like doodling and stuff, but it would never be like my main occupation. And for me, that's not enough to deal with the chaos. You should see my planners. It's like, my friend called it a psychotic planner, and psychologists will want to look at you. To which I replied that that's just because they're jealous. But, I need a lot of, like, actual structure, like a very detailed planner, a time schedule. Like, I put alarms on my phone, even though I know that, like, I won't actually miss that appointment. I have it in my head. I just put 10 alarms so that I am certain that I can't miss it.
Yeah,
so for me, art wouldn't be enough to kind of calm me down about my chaotic environment.
Wow.
How about you? Are you an artistic person?
I would say so, yeah. I feel like I paint a lot. I started doing that. I mean, I always loved it, but then, like, you're not just going to pick up painting just like that. But then last year, when everyone, like, when we were on lockdown, I didn't have anything else to do. So I just did it because my mom paints as well. And I really, really loved doing that. And then especially, I think it was Luke something about going with the flow and just starting with an empty canvas and not having a plan. That's how I like to do it too. I never make sketches or anything. And I feel like I've, like, when I try to sum it up, I feel like I've done a lot of artistic things. It's just that not all of them are for me. I danced a lot. I used to do theater for like 2 years. I write a ton. I'm not that good at drawing, but I do like really like painting. So yeah, I would say I'm an artistic person, but that doesn't mean I'm necessarily good at it. It's just, for me, I feel like you're artistic when you kind of realize that it does something for you. Like it comforts you, or it helps you, or it confronts you, or like it awakens something in you. That's when I feel like you're artistic.
Yes. So do you also see it as a way of like coping with chaos?
For sure. Yeah. But especially for me, this might be a little TMI, but I don't care. I feel like it helps a lot with my anxiety. Like when I feel very, very anxious or sad, I like to paint. Like that's the one thing that helps me always. So I think, I mean, obviously like we've been saying like 1,000 times over, it depends on what kind of chaos you're looking at. Because obviously when I'm chaotic in the sense that there's a ton of stuff I have to do, I'm the same as you. Maybe not as psychotic as you, but I do have a plan. I do have a planner. And obviously painting would not help me in that sense. But when there's chaos in my head and you have all these irrational thoughts because you're anxious, then yeah, it does help me more than anything.
Yes. Now that we're talking about it this way, like when I was taking an art class, that was always on Friday afternoons. And I remember just coming home and, oh, it's the weekend. And I would just continue with my art projects at home. And like that would be very calming. But then as I started university, I just kind of stopped doing it. Like I used to also like write a lot, like doing creative writing. But I think it's almost been a year now since I've tried to write anything. So maybe I should pick it up again to kind of...
I think you should. I think I kind of had the same. I've been writing since I think I very much, quote unquote, I wrote my first book, which was like 50 pages, like very, very tiny. When I was, I think I was 12. And then...
Oh, same.
Really? And then I sold it. I remember this so well. My mom printed it out at her work. And then I sold it on the streets on King's Day.
Oh, how cute.
Oh, it was still Queen's Day back then. So I sold it on the street. And I was so, like, proud of myself because I drew the back of it myself. And, like, it was just this thing. And I never really stopped. And then I definitely write a lot less now that I'm at university. But I don't think I could ever stop. Sometimes I wish that I could, because when I feel like I'm writing something and it's terrible, which obviously I feel like everyone has that at least once, but where you just want to throw everything away and like burn it up. But then I feel like I can't stop, which is kind of annoying at times, because I feel like it's such a big part of me that I cannot just put it down, even though I don't even want to do it sometimes. It's really weird.
I kind of feel the same, because even though I haven't really tried to properly write anything, I keep having like ideas and writing it down in my notes app.
It's always on your mind. Yes. Always. Yeah.
Yeah. When people ask me, what are your hobbies? I will still say writing. I just have to add a disclaimer that like, okay, actually I haven't really tried in a while.
But I think maybe you have tried, but it's just you come to a point where like it becomes so much that you just have to write it down. Because there was this one... I had this, I really wanted to write like a novel, kind of, I don't know, I just wanted to try that. And then I had an idea when I was 15 and I wrote it down and I never picked it up. And then I picked it up last year. I kind of started writing it out. So it had been sitting on my laptop for, I don't know, 5-6 years. So it just, I feel like it just comes when it has to come, and when it, like, you don't have to put pressure on yourself.
Yeah, that's a very nice way of looking at it. So we kind of digressed from the chaos point, but I think what we can take from this is that whichever way you look at it, art and chaos are connected for all of these artists, but also for us, because I think one thing that unites these artists is that art is a medium for them to kind of resolve chaos or see a pattern in chaos. And I think that's very beautiful, and I also think that ties in with many theories and theorists that we've mentioned throughout this episode. And to all our creative listeners, of course, do you recognize these things yourself? Are you also like a creative person, and do you deal with chaos differently than these artists, or do you have a different perspective? Or do you think that chaos is only a feeling, like Gerard said, and it's not really a fact or a real thing? are all very interesting questions that you can answer in our interactive journal, which you can find on our website, chaos101.sites.uu.nl. We thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you really enjoyed it. And we would love to see you in our next and final episode about politics, where we are also going to be mentioning Descartes, who we also mentioned today. And we will talk about conspiracy theories.
Ooh.
Very fascinating.